The Arctic Monkeys are a phenomenon. Their debut album, Whatever People Say I Am, That's What I'm Not, was the fastest-selling debut album in British history ever, and an award winner as well. They have a new album, Favorite Worst Nightmare, and we'll hear from the band in concert today. But first, Jamie Cook and Matt Helders from the Arctic Monkeys and the World Cafe's Jim McGuinn are here to talk about the whys and wherefores of their success. Jim starts off by asking the band when they realized that this wasn't just something they were doing for fun.
I can't remember a time when we thought, like, I'm going to be able to like quit my job and do this now. I can't remember when it were, because all that kind of stuff, I remember saying then, like, you don't know when to celebrate because there's that many things happen. It's like there ain't like a climax. It's like, oh, yeah, you're going to sign your record deal next week or whatever.
Yeah.
Then that gets time, like, that gets moved on, and then you sign it, and that's not it. That's when it starts. So it's like there ain't like one day when you can be like, yes, we're signed or whatever. It's
just, yeah.
I don't know, it's never what it seems.
But you guys, most of you guys were still in school. Like, you went to school after high school and things like that,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah. Yeah. It's like, you leave in England, you leave school when you're 16 and then you do what you want. So,
yeah.
Like, you can either go to college and do like,
which
like a 2-year
like college,
course. Yeah, it's like different. Yeah. You like go to university after, which is probably equivalent to college in America.
Yeah.
And then, so I went to college for 2 years, and then, like, that's while the band were like kicking off a bit.
Yeah,
but even after that, I think I'd like left college. We'd left college by the time we had to like go away on tour and all that stuff.
Yeah, so it was more like, okay, we just, instead of going to get jobs, this thing's taken off.
Yeah,
we're gonna go on tour.
But we were working while we were doing it. Like, Jamie were full time, and I work, like, the rest of us were working part time. Like, I was working part time while I was at college, and then when I left college, I just carried on working part time for a bit because I was too lazy.
What were your jobs that you were doing while you guys were in school?
I went to the same college like as these, but I did like an apprenticeship like as a tiler, and Matt and you did music and media.
Yeah, I did at college. I did music and media and photography, but I didn't do amazing in them, so I didn't do anything to do. Well, obviously I did something to do with music eventually, but job, I just worked in like a clothes shop.
Were you guys, was it surprising for you when the first album came out and it became, you know, like the fastest selling record in England and all that sort of success came so quick?
Yeah, that was something like you couldn't really get your head around at first, like how many people had bought it in that short space of time. Because, I mean, like, we obviously saw it building up, like the like amount of people that liked us and stuff, but I don't think you'd be ever prepared to like break a record.
Yeah.
So, like, to, especially I had it before, it was like a pop band who won a reality TV programme. That's who held the record before.
Yeah.
So it didn't really make much sense to us.
Yeah, it was more like that. It was right weird that, because you like looked at it and I think it was like Beatles, Oasis, Coldplay.
Yeah.
And this band called ESA, who won like equivalent like American Idol.
Like American Idol,
yeah,
band,
yeah. Same thing. It was like the first one in England, and they won it.
But it was like a group. So it was just like, yes, we're good to do that, you know.
Well, what's been the most challenging thing for you guys dealing with that success, like in terms of your lives changing?
I don't know. We don't really.
I think we've managed, whether it's us or just that's just the way it's worked out for us, but we've managed to like stay pretty normal in terms of that. It's like we don't get like recognised everywhere we go. So the only time we really get it is like if we're all out together in Sheffield, like at night, and even that's not that bad. Or like if we're just playing a show or whatever, it's like we happen to be out around where we're playing, then obviously people are gonna suspect that it's us. But
yeah,
like usually, like if we just go out around where we live, it's not a problem.
Well, with the success of the first record, did you feel how did you deal with the pressure to follow up with now Favorite Worst Nightmare?
I don't know. We didn't really feel any, like, because like when we were actually making this album, it's like we'd forgot about the first one to an extent. Like, we weren't really like in the public eye, or like we weren't really doing anything at the time, so it's not like anybody were like, I mean, it would probably anticipated the next album, but nobody knew we were doing it at that time or anything, so it weren't like, oh, what are they going to come up with? And I don't know, but it was like we were left alone to get on with it.
Enjoyed it. Excited, really.
We had more time, and we just like relaxed more probably doing this one.
Definitely the first single, Brian Storm, is much heavier, and the drums are huge on the record. And you've got the video featuring dancing models.
Yeah.
How did that happen?
I don't know. It was an idea we came up with, just because. But we didn't want it to be. We didn't want it to be seen as like we were taking like a mic out of hip hop videos or anything. We didn't want to do it like as if we were like a comedy thing. But we were like, we thought like they're always more entertaining to watch like videos like that, rather than us just playing drum, like playing a song in a warehouse or something.
Yeah.
Or having a fight or whatever. But and we combined the idea of us doing a bit of performance, just because we hadn't really been in many of his videos, so we thought we'd best like give him something, I suppose. And yeah, the dancing girls, we thought we might as well do something different that like we hadn't done before, and not many bands like us have done before.
Well, I guess it kind of fits, because the song seems to be sort of about about this guy who's always sort of picking up young girls and stuff like that, right?
I suppose, so. I mean, that is... That kind of thing probably goes on in Brian Storm's head. So
yeah, that's what he's like inside his head.
So is that song about someone very specific?
Yeah,
to
it's,
you guys?
It's just one person that we met once after a show somewhere, and like he like came in to talk to us after the gig, like saying, "Oh, you're amazing, or whatever." But he was like a really like smooth character, and I don't know, a bit like at first it was a bit uncomfortable, like he was a bit sleazy, but. He didn't want him to leave. By the time he'd left, we were like, "Oh, I've got to write a song about him." And as soon as he went, we like started writing things down, like drew a picture of him, so we didn't forget what he looked like. And
so does he know?
No, I don't know. We've never seen him again.
You don't know his real name, or
no? We never.
Like, I think that his was real the, name was
that
Brian.
Was just
when,
the one.
Oh, was it?
Probably, yeah.
Yeah, I think it was.
We got it because we gave his business card. We gave Alex his business card, and he's still got it somewhere. And but that was just the one encounter with him. Like, we'd never seen him before, and we've never seen him again.
I wonder if there's a bunch of guys named Brian in the UK that are going,
think it's
trying to
yeah,
clean.
It's me.
Yeah, no,
I'm funny. The guy.
I bet
that's
funny.
Brian, top marks for not trying. The song I love you to bless us with your effortlessness. We're grateful and so strangely comforted. Some want to kiss, some want to kick you. There's nothing that you couldn't slip through. Or at least that's the impression I get. Cause you're smooth and you're wet, and she's not aware yet, but she's yours. She'll be saying, use me. Show me the jacuzzi. I'm Jim McGuinn, it's World Cafe, and we're talking with Jamie Cook and Matt Helders, guitarist and drummer with the Arctic Monkeys this afternoon. I remember the first time I heard you guys, a friend had some of the demos way before you even had your first record out, and I just remember thinking, great songs, terrible name.
Oh, yeah.
Tell us again how it came about. And
well, there's no good story behind the name, it's just something that Jamie made up at school and thought, I want to have a band called that. So I suppose it is a good story, because we did. Like, we could have easily tried to think of a serious name.
And then, like, we've got a management, Jeff and that, they went, we're not really sure on name. I think it's a bit crap and it don't really fit music. I don't know how you get a name to fit music. Yeah. But and then as soon as I said that, we just went, we're keeping it, definitely. But, we'd have probably changed it if otherwise. But
you just get, like, I don't know, people get... Like, you see a name, and if it's like a name, you think that's a good name, then you're usually disappointed by a band. So,
yeah, it don't mean no now, though, does it?
Yeah, people don't know, people don't think Arctic, what's an Arctic Monkey? People just see name now and just you forget it. It's like Oasis and the Beatles, it's like they're not exactly well, I don't know what is a good name, that's what I mean. But
there is some bands with good names, you go, that'd be a very good name for a band,
yeah.
Or you see some gig posters and very good names, but
see, that's sometimes good. Sometimes you see a name and you think, oh, I might listen to them, but then. Again, you might be disappointed. Doesn't really make a difference.
Well, you guys chose a pretty horrible name, but yet you've made it work for you.
Yeah.
I read a quote from the NME a few months ago after you guys played Reading, and it said, Arctic Monkeys simply stroll on stage without even a backdrop, too self-conscious and failing to be the rock stars they've earned the right to be. How do you react to something like that?
We didn't get a backdrop though.
Yeah, we just didn't use
it. We had a backdrop, but it was so terrible. Tim organised a backdrop who sat in corner, and it was horrible. So we didn't use it. So it was Tim's fault that we didn't have a backdrop. It weren't us trying to look cool.
I don't know, I suppose. I don't know what they wanted us to do, to be honest. Lycra and fireworks.
That's what we do, though. We just like... We get a lot over here. You read a lot of reviews and they go on, Arctic Monkeys walked on stage, didn't hardly move, didn't say anything, but played a great show. Shame they didn't move more, though. I don't know. Yeah. I'm going to get some fireworks. Just shoot a few fireworks into the audience and jump up, do some scissor kicks or something.
It's the Arctic Monkeys. Let's hear something now from the live show on World Cafe.
Not to get what you set out to acquire. tattooed up, but you don't look the same. You remind me of wrestling. I don't know which one in particular, but just wrestling in general. Just an observation, not a complaint by any means, Mr. on the front row. Not a criticism. Not at all a criticism. Get on your dancing shoe. There's one thing on your mind. Oh, when they're looking for you, sure you'll be rummaging through. Oh, and the shit's your horror. You've seen your future bright. Say the first words, so you're waiting and waiting. The only reason that you came is what you're scared for. Well, don't you always do the same? It's what you're here for, don't you know? The lights are flashing down in here tonight.
Dancing Shoes from the Arctic Monkeys in concert. And a thanks to Jamie Cook and Matt Helders from the band for joining Jim McGuinn in conversation before that. Coming up, music from Bob Dylan. We'll get back here to the World Cafe.